Bibles, and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 through 7. Begin a new series this morning on the problem of suffering, problem of human suffering. And it's my prayer that our church will get well physically so that we can worship and serve the Lord like we want to. Amen. I mean, I pray that all the time. I also pray for your spiritual health, my spiritual health, and your physical health. And I don't pray for mine because I'm Superman. No, I pray for my own physical health. And so we've got a lot of people with a lot of illnesses. And next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to tell you why. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You may have concerns and questions that can't seem to get an answer to and get a handle on, such as, why did God create evil? Well, answer is, he didn't. Then why does he allow evil? You may ask the question like, does he love us and care for us? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Why doesn't he do something about it? Anybody want to tell me when he did something about it? On the cross, right? Listen to your pastor very closely. The problem with this world and the problem with your human body, it all brought about by the fall, by sin, right? So you can blame Adam. In one man's offense, all were made sinners, Romans 5:12. Why does God allow pain? When I say pain, I'm talking about not your arthritis pain, but I'm talking about your suffering and hardship and problems that come. Why doesn't God do something about it? He did 2,000 years ago. You may say, I try to live right. I attend church faithfully. I tithe. I pray. I read my Bible. I visit. I share the gospel with the unbelievers. But it just seems like, Brother Ken, they're prospering and getting ahead, and I got all these problems. And you say, well, I didn't have these problems before I come to Christ. Guess what? You belong to him. Now that you're away from him and with God, Satan don't like it. Amen? And so before that, you felt no conflict because you didn't have the Holy Spirit and the flesh. You had the flesh. Some people say, is there something wrong with my faith if I get sick? Why do I have this disease? Why do I have this disability? Why did I lose my spouse? There was years ago when I was younger that I really questioned God about my disability. But then I came to understand it's not a disability at all. Why did I lose my spouse? Well, the prosperity gospel preachers are, I hate to even use the word gospel because they don't preach it, or the word faith movement falsely teach that God wants you to be healthy and wealthy, bypassing a sovereign God. If you're not healthy or wealthy, then there's something wrong with your faith. They say you're a second-class Christian. You are part of the have-nots. We got it, but you have not. They teach that all you must do is speak it and have it. Name it and claim it. Y'all know what I like to say. Blab it, grab it. Your words are faith words, and you'll get whatever you speak. No, you'll get whatever a sovereign God wants to give you. Amen? So I believe in positive thinking. I believe in positive attitude, but I do not believe in bypassing a sovereign God. So today I want to answer biblically the question, why does God allow his children to suffer? And we'll be looking at another passage in Peter next week, and then we'll be looking at first two chapters of Job and the last few chapters of Job, and we're going to get a perspective on this. Why does God allow suffering? First, some general observations. This is not my outline. Sickness and death came from the fall, Genesis 2:16 and 17. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They died instantly, spiritually, and they began to die physically. And through one man's offense, we were all made sinners. Your sin nature was transmitted to you from the first Adam. and that's just the way it is. Secondly, we live in an unredeemed flesh that is fragile and temporary. I don't have to tell you that, right? You dealt with that flesh this morning when you got up, right? And it's temporary, fragile. You, like Marcus says, one day we're going to all stand before the King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're going to stand there in our redeemed bodies, and we ain't going to feel nothing. I mean, you know, I believe I could even play with the Georgia Bulldogs then when I get to that point. And the unbeliever lives for this life while the believer lives for the next. I hope you're not living for this life. You're going to be greatly disappointed, right? We live for the next. And then a fourth observation I want to make out of Isaiah 53, healing is not guaranteed in the atonement. Spiritual healing is, but not physical healing. By his stripes we are healed. We are healed from sin. Look in Isaiah 53. It's all about sin. But if God heals us, but it's not guaranteed in the atonement, as some people teach. So guess what? Those that God heals, guess what's going to happen to them? They're going to die, right? In Adam all die. You're going to get sick again until you get to heaven. So this morning I want to share six truths. I want to depart from my usual exposition of a text, and it's more of a topical message, and I want to share six truths about suffering and the life of the saint. And with each of them, I'm going to give you an example and a scripture out of the Bible. You can turn there if you want to, or I'm going to read it to you. Number one, some suffering comes from God. Some suffering comes from God. You see that in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, when Moses is making excuses because he can't deliver the children of Egypt. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And you know what God told him later? You know, I'll send you someone that can speak for you. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made? Now, this is it. This is what the Lord says. When we say that I can't do it, there's something wrong with me. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Who maketh thee, those that can't speak, those that can't hear, those that can't see, or those that are blind? Did not I, Lord? And we know that God, in his sovereign will, chooses that to manifest his glory in the life of that life and the life of that family. We get another example later on, and I'll share it with you. So how do we explain this? God makes the affirmed, the disabled, all in his sovereign plan and purpose. Now, that's not going to jive with a lot of popular preaching today. There's something wrong with you if your baby was born with a handicap. Listen to me, folks. I'm going to get this off my chest right now, and I may never say it again until 3 weeks. We pray for a healthy child, but what if God doesn't give you one? He's given you the child that he wants you to have. Can I get an amen? Amen. And he wants you to take care of that child. And that child needs special parents. And it's time that women and men man up and woman up and step up and take care of what God's called them to do. Amen? And not drop them side the road, or not give them away, or not abort them, right? It's time for God's people to step up. So some suffering comes from God. Secondly, some suffering comes from Satan. We'll be looking at in the life of Job. And I want to put a disclaimer on that. Some suffering comes from Satan, yet allowed by God. Jesus healed the woman who had a sickness of 18 years caused by a spirit. That wasn't a good spirit. That was an evil spirit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Issue of 18 years caused by a spirit. You know? God uses Satan. And I think of that woman, that when Christ became flesh and he was walking in his earthly ministry, it was his sovereign will and purpose, even before that woman ever had this disease, to heal her when he appeared on earth. Man, I can't get over that. Job is another example. God allows Satan to touch us for his sovereign purposes. You ever thought about this? God may allow Satan to touch you because he wants to do a work in your life, but also to work in someone else's life. We're in high cotton right now. We're in the weeds here now, right? We're in the weeds where people say, well, I don't believe none of that, Pastor. Well, you don't know your Bible. Number three, some suffering is correction from God. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 and 31, they were not observing the Lord's Supper correctly. And notice what Paul, God said through Paul, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's a metaphor for death. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And the Bible does teach the doctrine of the sin unto death. You take a believer who goes back off into sin, if he has a spirit within him, God's going to correct him. And if he doesn't listen to him, God's going to take him home early to save the witness of Christ and the witness of the church and their own witness. So some suffering comes from Satan. Thirdly, some suffering is correction from God. 1 John 5:16, the sin unto death. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So there's a sin not unto death, there's a sin unto death. And I don't know what that is. We'll know it if God takes them home early. There's a sin unto death. I would not say that you should pray for it. And I've told you before, I've done many funerals, over about 128 funerals in my ministry. Some I felt like were the sin unto death. But I didn't tell the family that, you know. So some suffering is correction from God. Do y'all believe this, true or false? When we who have the Holy Spirit of God sin, God convicts us to confess that sin, and if we don't, he corrects us, he chastens us. Y'all agree with that? That's Bible. That's Bible. I heard a saying this past week that I think we've forgotten in the church. Bad theology makes bad morality. Bad theology leads to bad morality. What else about this suffering correction from God? Well, James chapter 5, verse 19, James says, brethren, he's calling them brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him or turn him back, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and a physical death, in that text is physical death, not spiritual death. This is a brethren, shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. In other words, hide a multitude of sins, keep them from forgetting more sins that can bring harm to Christ and to the church and to themselves. So we must make sure our problems are not our own fault before we point the finger at other people. The more I pastor, the more I see a lot of bad things happen to us because we make bad choices. Are you with me? And all of you right now are processing something in your mind where you made a bad choice. And it's come back to haunt you, right? And then number four, suffering proves our faith. It perfects our faith. This is what the text says in 1 Peter. He talks about heaven and all that we have awaiting us, all that we have right now in the first five verses of our 1 Peter. But then he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why? That the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Suffering proves and perfects our faith. Now, need I say more about that? How a believer goes through suffering gives evidence of their faith, right? And then number five, suffering shows God's power and glory. And I know you're sitting there in the bed at Archibald Hospital and you're not thinking, God, how can you get power and glory out of this? You're thinking, I want this IV out of my arm. I want this thing off of me. I want to go home, right? But how can my suffering bring God power and glory? Texas, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had the thorn in the flesh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, he prayed three times for that. And then it says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Missy, can you make sure you keep an eye on that camera? All right. I hate it. I hate to be this way, folks, but there's been instances where somebody visited a while, went out, and then came back in. Okay? John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Suffering shows God's power and glory. If you think I've gone too deep, then I'm fixing to go deeper. Remember the story about the blind man? In John chapter 9, 1 through 3, and Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. Right? Remember, is it not I that makes the blind, the deaf, and the mute? It's not the sin of their parents. Notice this. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Or was he born blind? The Jews back then thought if there's something wrong, then there's because he was a sinner. Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Wow. Think about that. God created this blind man so that down the road he could heal him in front of the scribes and Pharisees and show his power and his glory. Amen? And then lastly, suffering makes us like Christ. You're laying there in the bed at Archibald and you say, well, I want to be like Christ, but I don't want it to be this way. You know? There's only two ways you can grow as a Christian. Through obedience of his word or through suffering. Okay? Suffering makes us like Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 30. And we know that all things work together good for the good for them that love God. All things, good or bad, work together to the good for them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. Now, what is his purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. His purpose is to conform us to the image of his son. And it's going to take suffering to do that. Are you with me? And he says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So some say we're not to pray. I've heard this. Some say we're not to pray, thy will be done. They think we're copping out. Well, just go ahead and ask God for it. You don't say if thy will be done. But you don't know your scriptures either. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed that three times. Thy will be done. And if it's good enough for Jesus, who's the second person of the Trinity, who am I to demand anything from God? God, if it's your will. If it's good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for me. And we are not Jesus. The problem is we don't know God's will many times. And we pray, God, if it be your will, heal me. God, I don't know what's happening here. First of all, you say, is there anything in my life I need to confess? Secondly, you say, God, how can this make me like Christ? God, how can I glorify you through the midst of this suffering? How can I be a light to other people in the midst of this? God, I don't know what you're doing, but it's not so much the fact of questioning you being sick. It's the fact of coming to that point in your life, and you can say, God, I want this to be my pulpit where I can glorify you, right? Do you agree with your pastor today? We all got a pulpit, right? It may not be this one up here, but we all got a pulpit. Are you going to live out your life in that pulpit differently than what you would in this pulpit? So God has a greater healing or purpose sometimes than temporary healing. For me, believer, I think it was Brother Marcus that touched on it a while ago, he won't have any glasses in heaven, right? You won't have to go to any eyeglass makers, right? It'll be perfect eyesight, spiritually and physically, right? No wheelchairs, no ERs, no breathing machines, no blood work. When I was younger, it runs in our family. When I was younger and I get my blood taken, I would be on the floor in a matter of seconds. And that's happened to my family members as well. And so then I progressed to just laying down. I said, Doc, take it while I'm laying down. But that didn't work either. So I'm over that now. I found out that I can go through anything, 5 vials, 10 vials of blood, as long as I don't look at it, right? But God has a greater healing and purpose sometimes than temporary healing. And we got to understand that all healing, when you say, God heal me, well, guess what? You're going to get sick again and you're going to die, right? But all healing in this body is temporary, right? Not everybody can take this kind of teaching because it's Bible, but they say, well, you know, I believe you can speak certain words. I believe you can give enough money. I believe you can do this and that, and God is obligated to you to heal you, right? I hope we didn't just have one walk out because of that. But I'm telling you, healing is temporary. So I wouldn't get too happy when you think the Lord healed you, because guess what? You're going to get sick again, right? Man, y'all not going to come back next few weeks, are you? Right? I rejoice, you know, what God's doing, yes, but we're in this body, folks. I slept on my couch the other night, not because Faye ran me out, but I was on the couch, and I found out if I get on the couch, my back will kill me the next day. You know? But it's because I'm in this flesh, right? But there's coming a day. I can't wait. Like the preacher we used to have come here, the older man, he'd go, are you with me? Or, right? Father, thank you for this first section of how we deal with pain and why there's pain and why you allow suffering in our life. And we look forward to that day when that trumpet blows and we go right into your presence. At the rapture, changed as we go up into a glorified body. And then if it's not in the rapture, if we die before the rapture, immediately our spirit is soul is taken into the presence of Jesus by a plurality of angels, Luke 16. And we go right into your presence under the altar awaiting the resurrection, where our spirit and soul will unite with our flesh at what's called the catching away of the church. Lord, we have a marvelous retirement plan. We have a marvelous plan that awaits us as children of God. This world is full of disappointments. It's full of hardship. But Lord, we're looking forward to that city that we're going to talk about tonight, the glory of heaven. And so, Father, I pray that there's one here today that does not have that hope of heaven, that they understand that the only way to heaven is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. We must come to Him in repentance and faith, confessing our sin and placing our faith totally in the work of Christ on the cross. Father, if there's one here like that, give them the courage to step out and to come and say, Pastor, I want to be saved, and I want to be saved today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.